Welcome to Enduring Words with David Guzik, a daily devotional podcast brought to you by Enduring Word.
Today, I'd like to talk to you about some of the witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. This is what we read. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. And that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. No one saw the actual resurrection of Jesus. No one was present in the tomb with him when his body transformed into a resurrection body. If someone were there, perhaps in a brilliant flash of light, they would have seen the dead body of Jesus transformed and virtually vaporize out of the grave clothes. Perhaps it would be something along the lines of the way that a body was transported on the old Star Trek television series. You know, the molecules are altered and the person could pass through a solid object and reassemble themselves into a solid person. We know that Jesus could do something like this after his resurrection. He could miraculously appear in a room that had all the doors locked and the windows shut. Yet Jesus was no phantom. He had a real flesh and bone body. Though no one saw the actual resurrection of Jesus, many people did see the resurrected Jesus. Paul now calls forth these witnesses to the resurrection to establish beyond all controversy that Jesus was raised from the dead in a resurrection body. First, he says that he was seen by Cephas. Jesus made a special resurrection appearance to Peter, that is Cephas. That's recorded in Luke chapter 24. We're not told much about this visit, but we can assume that there was some special need for comfort and restoration in Peter that Jesus ministered to. Then Paul says that he was seen by the 12. This probably refers to the first meeting Jesus had with the assembled disciples, mentioned in Mark chapter 16, verse 14, and in Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 36. It's also mentioned in John chapter 20, for that matter. This was the meeting where Jesus appeared in the room with the doors and windows shut, and he breathed on the disciples, giving them the Holy Spirit. Then Paul mentions the meeting of Jesus with over 500 brethren at once. Now, that meeting is not detailed in the Gospels, but it is suggested by passages like Matthew chapter 28, verse 10, and verses 16 and 17. You see, during the time after his resurrection, but before his ascension, Jesus seemed to meet with his followers on many different occasions. And then Paul says, of whom the great part remain to the present. That's a compelling testimony of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. Paul is saying, go ask these people who saw the resurrected Jesus. These aren't a handful of self-deluded souls. There's literally hundreds who saw the resurrected Jesus with their own eyes. They know Jesus rose from the dead. Then Paul described how the resurrected Jesus was seen by James. Well, that would be James, the brother of Jesus, who was seen as a prominent leader in the church in Acts chapter 15. Significantly, in the Gospels, Jesus' brothers are hostile to him and to his mission. You can see that in John chapter 7. Yet in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus' brothers are among the followers of Jesus. What happened to change them? Well, certainly, the meeting of the resurrected Jesus with his brother James had some influence. And then Paul says, that he was seen by all the apostles. That probably refers to a few different meetings, such as in John chapter 20, chapter 21, Matthew chapter 28, and Luke chapter 24. There may have been many more meetings which are not described in the Gospels. These meetings were important in proving to the disciples that Jesus was who he said he was. At these meetings, he ate with them, comforted them, commanded them to preach the gospel, and told them to wait in Jerusalem for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit after his ascension to heaven. Then finally, Paul mentions, last of all, he was seen by me also. That means that Paul could add his personal testimony to the evidence brought forth by these prior witnesses. Paul's encounter with the resurrection of Jesus took place after Jesus ascended into heaven. This means that today, you and I can have an experience with the resurrected Jesus. We can and should be persuaded by the testimony of all these brought forth by Paul in this chapter. After all, the culminative testimony of these witnesses is overwhelming. Not only did they see Jesus after his death, but they saw him in a manner which revolutionized their faith and their trust in him. The changed character of the apostles and their willingness to die for the testimony of the resurrection eliminate fraud as an explanation of the empty tomb. But don't forget to add all of this, the final piece of evidence, your own experience of the resurrected Jesus. He didn't just rise for those people in the first century. Friend, Jesus Christ rose from the dead for you as well. Believe it, receive it, put your trust in Jesus, in both what he did in dying for your sins and in the resurrected triumph and glory of your Messiah. He invites you to receive some of his resurrection glory and to receive it today.
Thanks for listening to Enduring Words with David Guzik. For more information about David's ministry, visit enduringword.com.